This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Okay, so it seems as though we have a clip. You want to set it up for us?
I'd like to, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, we'll just roll it.
And now, the whole show's clip of the day.
Clip of the day brought to you by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFKA. All right, Michael. I watched the preseason football. I know you're busy watching WNBA these days, but I sat down to watch the Las Vegas Raiders and the Houston Texans play. Interested in Fernando Mendoza. He had some good moments. The pick six is the one that everyone's talking about right now, but I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to be really good. This was funny though. He's just kind of a, I don't want to say odd. What did Buck call him? Unique. He, at the end of the, he's being interviewed on the sidelines because he's done. He only played in the first half. I just thought it was funny, and I want to talk about it. Here it is. Here's Fernando Mendoza.
Thank you. Please do. Please do. And please tell Mr. Buck I say hello.
Oh, we love it. There you go. What about Mr. Aikman?
Oh, of course. I mean, he's a legend, you know. I think Mr. Buck needs some more love because, I mean, Mr. Aikman's already, you know.
Well said, Fernando. You nailed it.
Thank you. God bless.
Back to you guys.
See, there it is. Back to Mr. Buck. That's the stuff. I mean, he is unique.
I think he caught himself. Don't you? Like he's saying, hey, Mr. Buck. Oh, wait, what about Troy Aikman? No, he's too famous. He doesn't need it. He is a unique guy, Mike. And it is an odd fit, isn't it? Las Vegas Raiders and Fernando Mendoza. Kubiak still... not say, I mean, I thought we already knew that it was going to be Kirk Cousins. But this is very much still a real quarterback competition. Kirk did not play last night. He didn't even dress out. Who would you go with?
I would not throw the rookie into the fire. Because I don't think they're, whether he's like a generational talent or not, I don't think they're.
Do you think
very
he's a generational good. Talent? You watched a few of his games in college.
I did. I just think that he's not ready yet. I'm one of those, hey, hold the clipboard for a bit.
But they didn't do that with Bo.
It's a mold school.
They didn't do that with Bo. And it worked out.
Yeah.
You got your own example.
I wouldn't have minded if they had let Bo hold on to a clipboard for a while.
But they didn't, and it worked out. So your own example in your own backyard said throw Bo Nix to the wolves, and he'll... trial by fire kind of thing, and he'll learn on the job. He's only gotten better.
A lot of those trial by fire guys don't work out, and some of that is maybe the franchise.
That's true.
Jets.
That's true. Especially if you don't have a good team around them, and they're just getting pummeled. That wasn't obviously the case with Bo Nix. They did everything right. Had a very good offensive line, a lot of dependable guys. I think Cortland Sutton has been, even though we don't throw Cortland Sutton's name in like the top 10, top 15 wide receivers, Mike, you better believe that Cortland Sutton has been a huge part of the growth of Bo Nix as quarterback for the Broncos. Faith texting in, he's such a genuine dude, you can't help but root for him. Yeah, I know, even you, I know, you hate the Raiders. But how can you hate Fernando Mendoza?
Because he's a Raider.
It's hard to hate that dude. He's a likable guy. He's just kind of, he just seems like he's a good dude, does all the right things, drinks his milk before bedtime, goes to bed early, gets up, starts the day. Do you think he's like taking in any of the Las Vegas lifestyle at all? I don't think so. That's why it's such an odd kind of place for him and Kirk Cousins. I think it's going to be Kirk Cousins, though. I just don't think you sign that guy without thinking, okay, he's going to be our bridge guy. And if he's good and the Raiders are shockingly good, then you might not see Fernando Mendoza at all. I think Aikman was talking about on the broadcast last night. He's like, it's actually going to be a bad sign when Mendoza does start. They both, Buck and Aikman, both believed that Kirk Cousins would be the starter. Boy, Aikman just hates doing preseason football, Michael. He just hates it. Buck said, hey,
he's ready for the meat of the schedule.
Yeah, you could tell. Because it was a 4-point game. The Raiders kicker missed 2 extra points, which was fascinating. Kanse Matsuzuwa went 1 of 3 in extra points. But it was going to be maybe a 3-point game if he makes it. And Buck's like, hey, we might potentially see overtime, which they don't do overtime in preseasons anymore.
I don't know if it's a rule, but I know that the coaches, it's an unwritten rule. Hey, we're not going to do preseason. I know we want to win, but if we don't get this 2-point conversion, we're going to go to overtime.
You could just hear Aikman say, oh, wouldn't that be great? Like, he doesn't want to be there.
Saying, oh, salad.
Yeah, don't.
Can't wait for the steak to come.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm at that. I'm interested in tonight, Mike. I want to watch this Broncos game. I think it's going to be fun. See Bo Nix in action. Is Waddle's playing tonight too, right? Believe so. So I know Tanner's going on this crusade of like, no, preseason doesn't matter. It's don't even watch it, but it's what we got right now, Mike. It's what we got.
It's football or the Rockies. I will take football.
Last night, I'm sitting there going, what's on? Rockies aren't playing? Oh, there's a preseason game. Let's watch that. Enjoyed it. It's football at the end of the day. I just don't care. Oh, Faith said, he said all he's done was go to the Sphere to see Wizard of Oz. Yeah. Didn't Brian go see that? I think Brian was there. Was Brian at the same thing?
I thought he saw AC/DC or something there.
I thought he saw Wizard of Oz, too. Is that not true? Am I making that up?
Maybe.
Mm. Most interesting thing about tonight that you're going to be glued in on for the Broncos. I know you're producing the game, but later when you watch on the record.
I want to see Bo Nix perform.
So that's your biggest one?
In general, I don't want him run. Oh, I'm going to be sacked. You don't have to run out of the pocket every time. You got a strong offensive line.
Kind of interesting
to see fine.
how he operates now.
Yeah, Bo's my number one interest right now.
I think that's probably going to be most people's, is Bo. Notable stuff, the wide receiver room. Will we see some of these guys like Hakeem Butler? Because that guy's going to have to. Mike, there's really not much he can do to make the team, is there? I mean, he'll be a practice squad guy. Let's just say he has 6 catches for 100 yards and a touchdown. That's not doing anything, right?
That's tape for a different franchise that's weak in that area.
Yeah, I don't see it. Little Jordan Humphrey needs to have a good showing tonight if he wants to make the team.
And I just don't think, no matter how well the other two do, they don't have the same rapport with Bo Nix as the other players. And Marvin Mims is too talented to leave off the roster.
In all the other areas, too. Yeah. Just kind of keep waiting to see Mims really latch on as a wide receiver. You know, good special teams, good returner.
They put a second round pick on him.
Yeah, they did.
He's got to, I think, perform better. I think he has to be utilized more.
Well, Peyton for years now and keeps saying that, right? Like his rookie year even said, that's on me, just not you, not finding him the right opportunities.
Oh, yeah. I also forgot about him because he stood behind some offensive linemen and he was too short.
Yeah, so we talked about this earlier, but the running back room. You know, listed on ESPN's version of the Broncos depth chart, it's J.K. Dobbins, R.J. Harvey, Jonah Coleman, and Tyler Bidet. So Jaleel McLaughlin is not even, he was on there last week. He's not even on ESPN's version of the Broncos depth chart. So clearly the touchdown pass didn't do much
didn't overrule the fumble and the dropped pass.
That's big. You can't do that. 15 minutes after the hour. Coming up next, we'll catch up with our Buffs insider, Brian Howell, publisher of BuffBlitz.com, covering the University of Colorado football, basketball, and recruiting for On3. We'll catch up with Brian coming up next. Keep it here. Buffs talk coming your way. Shocker here on The Whole Show.
Drink, and I know things.
Listen to Good Morning NoCo weekdays at 6 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, talking some Colorado Buffaloes with Brian Howell, publisher of BuffBlitz.com, covering the University of Colorado football, basketball, and recruiting for On3. Brian, my man, always great to catch up with you. Sounds like it's been a very interesting week in Boulder for you guys.
It has been an interesting week, and it's always interesting. It's an interesting 3.5 years.
So, well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's just, it's crazy. There's always something going on. I wanted to get into this. I'm assuming you were at practice, and maybe you can clear this up, like when this deputy sheriff goes out to serve papers. What is the real story here, Brian? Because this one is just absolutely nuts.
Well, yeah, I was at the practice, but I didn't know anything about the deputy sheriff until later on that they were trying to serve the papers. I didn't see any of that. I was enjoying football practice, so I didn't notice any of that stuff. But yeah, it sounds like they went up there at that time and said that he wasn't available. I mean, they had to have known he wasn't available. It was pretty public that they were going to be in practice at that time. So I'm not sure why they went up there at that point in time.
So the sheriff didn't approach the practice field or anything, I guess.
I don't know. I will say where they put the media is not near the entrance. So if the sheriff showed up at the entrance of the gates, I didn't see that.
What a wild story. So, I mean, now we're seeing stories of Coach Prime's lawyer getting involved. We kind of thought maybe something like this would happen where it's like, hey, if he's not available to coach, that's gonna affect his job at this point. So is Coach Prime going to get out of this somehow, Brian? I mean, what do you know?
Well, I don't know much, but in talking to people, what I think is, I don't think he's going to get out of it, but I think that what will probably happen is they'll work out something to where, you know, he can testify at a time that doesn't interfere with the game, you know, whether it's, they could do it by Zoom even.
That's what we were talking about, yeah.
You know, maybe find out a time on Zoom that he could testify or, you know, a day that he doesn't have to be in Atlanta, Georgia, to coach a football game, maybe. That would help. So my guess is that they'll probably work with him and figure out a good time to do that.
Is he talking about this much, or is it one of those things where it's like, hey, we're not going to allow any kind of questions about this?
Well, he hasn't. He doesn't talk to us that often. So he talked to us at media day last Friday, and we won't talk to him. I'm not sure if we'll talk to him again until game week, so in about a week and a half or so. So he hasn't really had a need to talk about it, or hasn't been put up on the podium to talk about it. So, we'll see. I would imagine he might get a question for that at the next press conference, but he has not been put at the podium yet.
What a weird – just the whole thing is kind of odd. Like you said, even with the sheriff – knowing when the practice is and it's just showing up. I mean, how difficult is it to just figure that out and find a way to get him those papers?
Right. look, he's got a slogan. He wears shirts all the time. Says, I ain't hard to find.
Apparently.
There's stories of him actually sleeping in the facility at times because he works so long. So he's probably up there a lot. They probably could have picked a time. It was not 9 to 11 a.m. to go serve those papers.
Brian, and how does that work? We were kind of going into it yesterday. He's been subpoenaed, but if he's not served those papers, legally, does he then have to? If he's not actually served by the time this starts, does he have to go?
I don't know that. I would think not, but I don't necessarily think he's trying to get out of doing that. I think he's just, it's just they're trying to, I would guess that he's received the papers at this point, and they're just trying to figure out a time to actually get it done.
Yeah, it's just a weird situation, and the timing of this is just absolutely crazy. And again, we've talked about this, like, if something comes up and it's going to affect your job, it's not just the, oh, well, football's going to win out over a court case. No, if they lose to Georgia Tech, and then obviously that sets a downward slope for the rest of the year for the Buffs. I mean, that could potentially cost a guy his job or other jobs surrounding him.
Yeah, and this is one of those deals. It's interesting because we talk about the timing. I mean, it's surrounding a deal with Shiloh that was almost a decade ago or more than a decade ago. I can't remember exactly when it happened, but that whole case that they're trying to still figure out, and it's crazy that it's still dragging on for one, but that they are doing it right now is kind of crazy as well. But it's a story that I haven't really done much on with Shiloh, but because it hasn't impacted really the product on the field. But this is one where now all of a sudden, if he's got to testify during a game week, now it could impact the Colorado Buffaloes.
Yeah, no question. I mean, and the distraction side of this too, because if we're seeing stuff, if there's stuff coming out online all over the place, players are seeing this too. Coaches are seeing this. Fans are seeing this. Just how big of a distraction is this going to be?
I would guess not a big one. Look, this team has dealt with distractions because of Coach Prime. Not his fault always or often even, but they've dealt with distractions for, now this is going on in year four. So I think this team is used to it. And Coach Prime's used to it. He's probably had people come after him for years, for various reasons. I mean, they've had religious groups come after him because they like to pray and various things like that. So he's used to it. I'm not sure he's going to be too worried about it, and he's going to do his best to deflect that from the team. And I'm guessing he's not going to let the team worry about it too much.
Brian Howell joining us, our Buffs insider. And so with this Shiloh Sanders thing, like you said, this is one that's over a decade old. This is stemming still from the whole security guard incident when he was in high school, right?
Yeah, actually, I think he was in middle school.
Middle school, wow.
I think he was an eighth grader when that happened. So might have been 2015, something like that. So 11 years ago. I can't remember exactly when that incident happened. But, yeah, he was a middle schooler, and, it was about him getting his phone taken away from the security guard. So, yeah, it's been going on for a while.
So where does the $11 million, where does that come into play? Is this what he allegedly owes the security guard in some kind of a settlement? Or where is that number coming from?
Yeah, so it's basically it was a ruling that was the amount that this guy was determined to be owed by Shiloh, and Shiloh is basically trying to reduce that. He filed bankruptcy at one point. He's basically trying to reduce that and, get out of all or some of that $11 million ruling. But I think it's what the defendant or the victim or whatever has been awarded at this point.
And Brian, do you know, and I know we're going heavy into this, 'cause it was crazy. This was kind of the news this week. As far as Coach Prime and what he would be, what would the courts need from him to testify, I guess, is he like a character guy? What would be his role in all this? That's where I'm also just kind of wondering what Coach Prime's role would be.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure. I haven't, I haven't super closely followed all of this, but I would guess, I mean, look, Shiloh was in middle school, so Deion's one of the parents. And so, and apparently there's something about some family dispute that was going on at the time. And so they probably want to talk to him about that. And they might want to talk to him about Shiloh's finances. And is he really bankrupt? Does he not have the money to pay this? So, there's probably a number of angles that they're going to try to come at him at.
Interesting. Brian, well, let's talk football a little bit. You spent a lot of time, I was checking some of your stuff out this week, talking about the running back room. I know you're hyped about this room. You're going into different details there. Talk to us a little bit about the pieces you put together this week.
Yeah, they're actually going to play some football. I do like this running back room. I think there's some really good pieces. And it's a bunch of guys nobody knows about because they haven't done anything on the power four level or not done anything great. You know, Michael Welch led this team in rushing last year, but it was less than 400 yards. And so that doesn't scream out at anybody, you know. And I actually bumped into him today, and he just looks stacked. You know, he's a short guy. He's a little bowling ball. And I actually said to him, I was like, you just look different this year. And he goes, oh, yes, I'm very different, very determined. And he's just running different than he has in the past. You have Damian Henderson, who spent 2 years at CSU not doing a whole lot. He was at Sac State last year, had a really good year in Brennan Marion's offense. And he comes here now and might be their best back. But then you have the Kalen Taylor and Jaquale Smith, who are little guys with a lot of speed. You know, Richard Young, who's a big back who came from Alabama, a former four-star. So you have a mix of talent that in this offense is going to use a lot of those guys.
And as you've kind of learned more about this, you mentioned Brennan Marion, you mentioned this the go-go offense. I'm curious to see, and maybe you're learning more of this as you go, but like what does that role for a running back look like in this offense? I mean, are you expecting them to catch a lot of balls out of the backfield, lining up on different portions of the field? What have you learned about, you know, the running back's involvement in this offense?
Well, they use two running backs a lot. So it's really it's a lot of triple option concepts in this offense. And there's two running backs on the field a lot. And so a lot of times it might be that big back and then a small back. And, you know, so there are going to be two guys in the backfield quite a bit standing next to the quarterback in that shotgun formation. And so they'll run some option type plays. I don't think they're going to throw to the running backs a lot. I mean, Sac State was different. I mean, every team's different. They didn't have a great quarterback. From my understanding last year, those guys didn't catch a lot of passes. So we'll see on that. Their leading rusher last year had 1,000 yards rushing and caught 15 passes. So it's not a lot of receptions out of the running back room, but they're going to carry the ball a ton. I mean, Brennan Marion's offense has averaged at least 173 yards rushing every year he's been a coordinator or a head coach. So we expect a lot of rushing attempts from those guys.
Yeah, and I'm assuming, you know, based on all that information too, and in Marion's background, this offense is probably going to put up a lot of points, being a lot of track meets. On the flip side of that, you know, what have you learned about this defense, Brian, that leads you to believe, hey, you know, we might not have to score 30 to win games this year?
Yeah, that's kind of the hope. You know, and Deion Sanders hired Brennan Marion to score the 30 plus points per game, and then Chris Marv comes in. It's a brand new defense. Not only is he new, but there's only 8 guys on that entire defense that were on this team last year. And several of them are walk-ons who probably won't play a lot. So it's a lot of brand new guys. I think this defense could be sneaky good. We don't really know a lot about it. There's a lot of guys that are coming up from lower levels they're depending on, but they're raving about a lot of guys. And, you know, that happens every year, and I get that, but the talk is different this year, if that makes sense. I mean, just the way they talk about some of these guys is different than the things they were saying last year and sometimes in previous years. So I think there's a lot of leadership. There's a lot of hard-hitting guys on this defense, and there's a lot of fundamentally sound guys on this defense as well.
How about our guy here? This is the one of the more interesting players, Gideon ESPN Lampron. He's going to be a stud, right? I mean, you don't have a middle name like that if you're not a stud.
Right, and plus his story is pretty cool. For those that haven't heard, I mean, the way he got recruited to Colorado is anybody that's followed Colorado knows that Coach Prime has a private jet. He flies everywhere on that a lot of times. He happened to be on a commercial flight, the same flight as Gideon Lampron this last winter, and Lampron walks by him and says, "Hey, Coach, nice to meet you. I'm in the portal. I'd love to come play for you." And Deion Sanders calls his one of his guys on the staff and says, "Look up this guy. Tell me about him." And his staffer writes back and says, "This kid can ball. You want to get in touch with this kid?" And so he goes to the back of the plane and talks to him and says, "Tell me about yourself." And next thing you know, he's a Colorado Buffalo.
That is insane.
Yeah, isn't that a crazy story? So, you know, first off, the gumption to walk up to Coach Prime and say, "Hey, I'm in the portal. I can come play for you." But he's as advertised, and Coach Prime told us the other day, and more, just a big-time hitter. And, again, fundamentally sound. He was a leader, an All-American at the FCS level at Dayton. Then he goes to Bowling Green last year, top 10 in the country in TFLs, and has 120 tackles. And it's just been bringing it every day in practice.
That's a cool story, too. I mean, what are the odds? You know, he's this kid's in the portal, and then he turns out he's actually, you know, you go back and look at the film, he's actually pretty legit. He's pretty good.
Right. And, you know, and from the story, it's literally he talks to him, and Coach Prime from the plane calls his, one of his staffers and says, tell me about this kid, finds out he's legit, and walks back to the back of the plane. Says, all right, let's go.
It makes your job easy, man, when you can recruit that way, if he's just already on the plane with you.
Yeah, you know, look, he's got to, what I figure out from that is he's got to take more commercial flights.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, you got to increase that because you never know who you're going to meet next.
That's right.
Brian, great work this week, man. Love to checking out the stuff on the running back room specifically. We're getting closer to game week, and we won't have to fill most of the time with you and talk about other stuff outside of the actual X's and O's.
There's always going to be other stuff.
That's right.
As long as Coach Prime is here.
That's right.
And that's okay. But as I tell people all the time, for those that don't know, as we cover it every day, it's more about football than people would really understand. And I'm looking forward to the actual football part here in now 13 days.
13 days away. We've got, like I told you the other day, man, we got the best. We got the best in the biz talking Buffs with us. So, Brian, always appreciate it, man. And we'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
You bet. Thanks, Brady.
All right. Brian Howell, our weekly guest, Mike, he's on with us weekly. I wasn't going to get into the drama that I created this week because Brian doesn't deserve that, Mike. But it is nice because we can get Brian on and we can just talk about the football side of it. And as much as I'm saying, I do feel like the Buffs are in some trouble, I am really interested. I think Brennan Marion, as the offensive coordinator for the Buffs, that's one of the more interesting stories surrounding all these teams that we're following on the show.
I mean, they can't get much worse. So I'm going to default to they're a better team.
I think offensively they're going to be much better from what we're hearing.
Defensively, nice big question mark.
Nice big question mark. But yes, Gideon, ESPN, Lampron is going to be a guy to watch, not just because of the name. That's a crazy story, Mike. He just happens to be on a plane that Coach Prime is on, goes up to him and says, hey, what's up, Coach? I'm in the portal. Come get me. Coach Prime then goes back to his little miniature lab there and starts talking to his guys saying, hey, give me something on this guy. He's literally in the plane with me. It'd be a waste not to at least figure it out. And come back and say, that guy can ball. So then he gets up, goes to the back of the plane, starts talking to him, and then next thing you know, he's a Buff. And he's got the best middle name. I know you don't like it. But he's got, I mean, it's not that I love the four-letter network. It's just, that's a cool middle name. It's crazy that, you know, the dad got away with it, but he did it.
I mean, mom could have always gone to the courthouse and changed his name.
That's true. But why? It's cool. 36 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break, get the latest on the local sports flash.
Here in Colorado, doing business is more than a transaction. It's a handshake, a neighbor helping a neighbor. And at Bank of Colorado, that's the way it's been since 1978. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado. And as Colorado's largest family-owned bank, we're built on personal service and a commitment to giving back. From local schools to community events, we invest where you live, work, and grow. Because this is more than business. It's home. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to The Whole Show on KFK.
Welcome back into the show. That was interesting with Brian. Always good to catch up with Brian Howell, talking some Buffs. Can you believe that? Shiloh was 15. He was in eighth grade, is what Brian told us, when this happened with this security guard. It's not a janitor, it's a security guard. Let's clear that up.
He was 15 in eighth grade?
I don't know. Brian said he was in eighth grade.
I looked up on the internet and it said 15.
Well, you could be a freshman or an eighth grader. I was 15 when I was a freshman. So, just depends on when you qualified for your school, when you could start or whatever.
I was 3 when I was in eighth grade because I'm such a genius.
How do I respond to those kind of things? Like, seriously, I'm asking, like, how do I respond to that kind of stupid thing? Like, this is a weird thing.
You go, oh, Micah is really smart, and I can believe that.
So if basically this whole trial for Shiloh is to determine whether he inflicted willful and malicious injury on a security guard at his school in Dallas in 2015. If the court determines that the answer is yes, he did, then Shiloh Sanders will remain on the hook for the $11.89 million default judgment that he still owes to the security guard. If the court determines the answer is no, then Sanders could discharge that debt and get out of the bankruptcy process with relatively little damage to his bank account. So that would be why you're asking Coach Prime, parent, dad, he's 15 at this time, to speak on what happened 11 years ago. Crazy, Mike. Something happened 11 years ago, and it's still with you today. But we'll see how that one breaks out. It's a weird week. And Brian said, hey, we're at practice and didn't see anything going on. But fascinating. Broncos, Packers tonight, Mike. We got into that a little bit. I got my 53-man roster projected. You gave it somewhat of a sign-off, except for you're disagreeing with me on the amount of quarterbacks / running backs they're going to be carrying. That's why tonight's going to be interesting. You know, we'll get to see, like I said, Jaleel McLaughlin. Big week for him. I also think on the defensive side, Jahdae Barron. I was thinking the other day, because Troy Rank wrote a piece in the Denver Post about Jahdae Barron's built kind of like a hybrid between a linebacker and a safety, but the Broncos are wanting him to play need him to play corner. I was, after that story, I was thinking, I mean, is there a chance you could convert him to safety and then he's the three guy? But then, of course, they go out and they sign veteran safety Taylor Rapp, so that, to me, kind of goes out the window. I think tonight's going to be interesting for Jahdae Barron again. He had the big pick six. His speed is off the charts. He's really fast, big player. I keep this name in mind, guys, because that room is really good. Patrick Surtain and Riley Moss and McMillan at the nickel spot, nickelback. And Jahdae Barron's involvement and how he fits is going to be fascinating, because you want him to work out. You want him probably, you need him to work out probably more than the other guys, more than Riley Moss.
And when he's older and can't run as fast, you put him at safety.
Well, it's a good problem to have, I suppose.
Embarrassment of riches.
That a number 20, a top 20 pick from a year ago is a couple notches down on the depth chart. That's a good problem to have. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Obviously, we know Bo Nix is going tonight. Davis Webb, Bo Nix, that connection. Bo had, you know, they're on the broadcast tonight, they're going to talk about the scuffle. They might even show some footage of the scuffle that happened, just to probably point out how fiery Bo Nix is. So expect that story to hit a few times tonight.
I mean, I would too.
No, oh, yeah.
It's an important story. The Broncos country area.
I think it's a very important story. I don't think it puts anybody really, and again, a fight's a fight. I don't think it puts Malcolm Roach right now like in any kind of a major negative light necessarily. Guys got heating. They're going after it, man.
Fighting amongst yourselves is different than fighting a different team.
Clearly.
Like, if you're fighting amongst yourselves in the preseason, that's expected. In the regular season, that's not cool.
Well, and fighting another team, you're going to get in trouble for that.
Fighting yourself, beating yourself up, you're going to be nothing. But if it's if you're fighting another team in the regular season, that's different.
Yeah,
you still get a personal fine, but it's just different. Like, it just is.
First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Shout out to On the Rocks Liquor. Get over there today, because beginning at 4 o'clock, they'll do their free wine and beer tastings that they do every single Friday. And when you stop by, do me a favor, tell them you heard about them right here on the whole show. That's On the Rocks Liquor, half a mile south of Highway 34 on 47th Avenue. They got beers of the week, beverages of the week, free wine and beer tastings every Friday. Got the drive-through there for you, too, at On the Rocks Liquor. 147 the time, Mike. What did we learn from today's edition of the whole show? Coming up next.
Front
range spare change returns for the 2026 football season. Find podcasts on 1310kfk.com, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.
Hey, Ram fans, this is Ali Farokmanesh, your head men's basketball coach at Colorado State University, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310KFK.
What do we learn on today's edition of The Hull Show? We learned that the NCAA kind of won today. The courts are at an impasse. They're saying, hey, no, go back to what it was when you initially said you could do the 5 for 5, but what are they going to do about all these dudes that went pro, didn't make the team, and now they're entering the transfer portal, and now they're coming back? We learned from Brian Howell that maybe this whole sheriff serve subpoena Shiloh Sanders stuff, maybe it won't be that big of a distraction, assuming Coach Prime can get out of having to be there for the entire process, and maybe he can do the Zoom thing. Michael, we also learned about my 53-man depth chart, and you don't like my running back room, you don't like my quarterback room. What else did we learn today?
It's not that I don't like it. That I just am predicting differently. I think the Broncos are just going to carry two quarterbacks, and they're going to risk Sam Ehlinger, hoping that he stays with the Broncos, but it's always a risk. I think they're going to keep four running backs.
What'd you learn today?
That's what I learned.
What else did you learn?
I learned a lot. Basically, everything you said plus five.
Everything I said plus five? What does that mean?
Yes.
You excited for the game tonight?
Very excited. We've got Platte Valley and Valley.
Jerry Schimmel and Bruce Dick on the call coming up at 5 o'clock. The return of football night in Northern Colorado. Kyle Johnson will be hosting that show until 6:30. He's going to set the table, set the scene for all things preps. Also kind of mention, you know, the college scene as we get into the season. He'll have more of that, too. It's busy, man. And this time next Friday, we're going to be live and on location out at UNC as
we prepare the return of Rocky Mountain Kickoff.
Rocky Mountain Kickoff will be back as well. Bruce Dick will be on site. I'll be on site. The Rocky Mountain Kickoff team will be on site for the first game ever under the lights at Nottingham Field for the UNC Bears. That is next Friday. It's a week away, Mike.
And the Bears are Nottingham going to lose.
That is the way we're ending the week? That's the way you're allowing this week to end. Wow.
Yes.
Just bye-bye, show. That's what we ended on.
Well, not bye-bye show. It's going to be podcast, 1310kfk.com,
yeah, maybe
Apple
you
Podcasts,
can
and Spotify.
Edit that crap out of there, the last thing you said. You could just edit that out, Mike.
I'm just going to put that on repeat.
Don't end it on a bad day, okay? Don't end things on a bad day.
It's playing on repeat.
Football night in Northern Colorado coming up at 5 o'clock with Kyle Johnson, and then Jerry Schimmel and Bruce Dick on the call for Valley and Platte Valley, a kickoff set for 7 o'clock. That'll do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.